now. We'll send it out to you at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And for all the upsetness and rending of garments and such last night after the 14-1 loss, the Blue Jays bounce right back and pick up a 7-3 win. We begin our Blue Jays talk with Sam from North York, listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello, Sam.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
You know, watching baseball and stuff.
Yeah, that was a nice win. It was a great way to bounce back. I wasn't particularly worried after they lost so big. It happens to even the best of teams. I was happy to see them bounce back. It was nice to see the our big guys, our stars, step up and really be the difference makers in the game. Great to get such good pitching out of J.A. Happ. It was really a great game. They took advantage of some sloppy plays by Boston, and that's really the sign of a good team. I wanted to know what you thought about maybe ending the Juan Francisco experiment and maybe letting Dan Johnson take over permanently at first base until the guys get healthy. I mean, the guy really just doesn't look like he has a lot of discipline at the plate. And now that we see that, you know, Munenori looked good tonight at third base, I'm wondering if that just seems like a viable scenario and keep going to second. It looked good tonight. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Did look good tonight. Kawasaki only had to field two ground balls at third base, so I would caution against, you know, going a little too nuts on how good a third baseman he is. But, you know, let's face facts, Juan Francisco is not a very good third baseman either. I have no problem with cutting way back on Juan Francisco's playing time. I think that it's not even a recent thing. He was 0-3 with a walk tonight, and going into tonight's game, since June 4th, he was hitting 185 with a 240 on base and 47 strikeouts in 92 at-bats. So we're talking about the better part of 2 months where he's just been terrible. And they've had to have him because everybody's hurt, and he plays third base. But I would be fine with, until Edwin comes back, Laurie comes back, having Johnson at first and Goins at second, and Kawasaki at third. Thanks for the call. We will continue to take your calls on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet590.ca. After the bottom of the hour, Blue Jays beat the Red Sox 7-3. It's the Honda postgame on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, Blue Jays beat the Boston Red Sox 7-3, bouncing back from that 14-1 loss last night. Six shutout innings from J. Happ, three hits each for Jose Reyes and Melky Cabrera, two-run homer by Deonor Navarro. Right now they're in the bottom of the 11th inning, 0-0, Yankees and Rangers, none out and nobody on. Tampa Bay is up 6-2 in St. Louis in the bottom of the 6th. 0-0 Orioles and Angels in the 2nd. Jays and Red Sox back at it tomorrow at 7 Eastern. R.A. Dickey and Clay Buchholz. You've been listening to Home Hardware. Blue Jays baseball brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. And the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Igor Enriquez, bye-bye.
This is Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Red Sox infield in, the 0-1 slug, right field, forget it! Number 7 for Deonor Navarro, a two-run shot, make it 4-0 Blue Jays. Deonor Navarro with a Jays' second home run in that bottom of the 6th. They take a 4-0 lead, they go on to beat the Boston Red Sox by a score of 7-3. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk, taking it up to the top of the hour, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. And the one call we got to before we had to let the network go was talking about Juan Francisco and the hard time he's been having. And on Twitter, at Blue Jays, telling me, and not the Blue Jays official site, but a different at Blue Jays with no E and a couple of underscores, telling me I'm being a little bit too hard on Francisco, that he's been okay in July, and the numbers would dispute that. I mean, if you look at only OPS, he's been okay in July because he's slugged well and that four of his eight hits in the month have gone for extra bases. But with his 0-for-3 tonight, Juan Francisco is now hitting .216 in the month of July with an on-base percentage of about .285. So still not good and still 20 strikeouts in 37 at-bats. So, no, he hasn't been okay in July. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We will hear from the skipper, John Gibbons, shortly. But first, let's go out to Steve in Phoenix City, Alabama, listening on his Sirius XM radio. Colby Rasmus has 3 stolen bases in 4 games, so we expect to hear from Steve in Phoenix City. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Good ball game tonight, man. Enjoyed it after that thorough thumping we took last night.
You betcha.
But somebody, and I think it ought to be you, Mike. I think you're my designated man. I want you to go up to Colby tomorrow before he gets in that batting cage before the game starts.
Uh-huh.
And I want you kicking right in the rear end. And
yeah, it's not going to happen.
Look here, boy, this is a free agent season you got coming up, and you better tighten up. I know he's doing okay, Mike, but he's not doing Colby Rasmus okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. You know, and he started off pretty well coming out of the break. He was 5-for-11 in that Texas series, but 0-for-5 so far in this series against the Red Sox, or 0-for-6 with 5 strikeouts and a walk. So it has definitely been a rough go from Colby Rasmus. This is not at all what we expected to see from him.
No, and he's got it in him. We know that, Mike. We've seen that. I don't know. It's just it's aggravating. It really is, because, you know, I've known the boy ever since he was played Little League, and he's got it. It's just he gets in these slumps, and I think he gets down on himself more than anything.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Once he gets down on himself, it's hard to get him out of that slump.
Yeah, we talked about that on Sunday on the interview that I did with him on the pregame show, and he said exactly that, you know, and he's got to figure out a way to stay more relaxed and not let things pile up on him and make sure that when you get into those slumps, they don't last forever and you can get out of them relatively quickly.
Yeah, you know, with just like the whole team last night, after that game last night, you know, forget about it. It's done. It's gone. We lost. Come out and win. And that's what Colby did. If he has a bad game, he's got to come back the next day and get it right. But, Mike, you know I had to call and say something, buddy, and I appreciate the outlet to get it off my chest.
No problem. Just know that I will not be kicking Colby Rasmus in the rear end tomorrow when I see him at batting
practice.
Oh, Mike,
come on. Don't be scared.
I may tell him that you told me to do that, though.
You
and see what happens.
You tell him Matt's dad said, get it in gear, boy.
You bet. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate the call. Matt's dad said, get it in gear, boy. I will pass that message along to the Colby Rasmus. Blue Jays beat the Red Sox 7-3. Gord is in Guelph, and you're on Blue Jays Talk. Welcome aboard.
How you doing?
Still all right, thank you. Go ahead.
I want your opinion on why the Jays haven't made a deal. I'll give you mine, and I want to see if you are in agreement with me.
Sure.
My fear is that Alex Anthopoulos has fallen in love with our prospects. We have a few good prospects in the minors, and we need another major league arm, and we need help in the infield. We have for the last month and a half, and he's sitting there, and we're not doing anything. The Yankees can go out and get a third baseman. They didn't have to give up a lot to get him, I don't believe.
You're right.
And here we are. We need infield. We need a third baseman. Yes, you can say Lori will eventually come back, but he's been hurt a good portion of this year, and he was hurt a lot last year. We need an infielder. We need a major league pitcher. I think Alex is afraid to trade our prospects.
Do you have,
and,
you, have
that,
you
that scares
noticed,
me a little bit.
Have you noticed what the Blue Jays have done on the trade market in the last year and a half? You know,
well,
you see,
yeah, they've made a couple of deals, but why haven't they done anything this year? This was the year they were in first place.
Right. But I'm asking you here. First of all, I don't think Chase Headley helps the Blue Jays. I don't think bringing a guy in who's got a herniated disc in his back and asking him to play third base on artificial turf does you any good. So I don't mind at all that the Blue Jays didn't get Chase Headley. Jeff Samardzija, as we've reported many times, the Chicago Cubs were asking for Marcus Stroman and Drew Hutchison for Jeff Samardzija. So that's not a deal that the Blue Jays should make. You don't trade 10 years of Marcus Stroman and Drew Hutchison for a year and a half of Jeff Samardzija and open up a hole in your starting rotation by making that trade. So those are the two deals that have kind of gone down to this point so far. But when you look at what they gave up to get R.A. Dickey, what they gave up to get Mark Burley and Jose Reyes, and at the time, Josh Johnson, I don't know how you could possibly say that Alex Anthopoulos falls in love with his prospects. He traded, arguably, four of his five best prospects 2 winters ago. So I don't think that's the case at all. What I think is the case is that the right guys that the Blue Jays are looking for at the right price have not come available yet. Guys like David Price, potentially Chase Utley, though we'd have to waive a no-trade clause to come here. Maybe a guy like a Martin Prado could help this team out quite a bit, and they just haven't been able to settle on a return for him. But I know that everyone's anxious to get a deal done and everybody wants trade to happen yesterday, and we see what's going on with this team and how poorly they've been playing lately, though it should be noted, again, 3-2 since the All-Star break, since they got back off that 2-8 terrible road trip. The deals that we want them to make just haven't been there yet.
Okay.
After the Dickey deal and the deal with the Marlins and even the Jay Happ trade where they traded 7 young players, I don't think there's any conclusion to be drawn that Alex falls in love with his prospects and isn't willing to make those deals. It's Blue Jays talk. The Jays beat the Boston Red Sox 7-3. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell and long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Roger Lajoie takes over with Sportsnet tonight at the top of the hour. More of your calls coming up, but first, let's hear what the skipper had to say. Here's John Gibbons, post-game scrum after the 7-3 win over Boston.
Gibby, the way that PV was dealing early on, that's like, imagine one of those nights where you needed Happ to be at his best, and he got in a bit of trouble, but can you just talk about the way he was able to get the key outs when he needed to?
Well, I mean, he was really good tonight. Yeah, in a one-run ball game. You know, that might have been his best, in my opinion, best outing of the year, simply because he had a good curveball going that he established. He used quite a bit. You know, he primarily relies on his fastball because he had a good one, but had a good curveball tonight that he was throwing over the plate and a good changeup. So that was big, and that was a big part of the reason, you know, he held them in check. But, yeah, I mean, he got out of a couple jams. Gate kept us with the lead there, and then the bullpen did their thing, and it got a little hairy late. But we had the big inning where a couple home runs made a huge difference, let it breathe a little bit.
You mentioned the jams that Happ got into there. Can you speak to the outs he made and then the fourth and the sixth with the runners in scoring position and just kind of getting those key ones there?
Well, you know what? You know, they're a tough team over there. I mean, it's a different look than everybody's just seen in Boston in the past, but they still have that same mentality. You know, they battle you. They make you throw the ball over the plate, and that's what makes it tough. And Happer, when he runs into trouble, you know, he loses the plate. But tonight he was doing that, and you know, he just bared down. But I think the big key was the ability to throw that breaking ball over in the changeup, and that made his fastball that much better. You know, and we played some good solid defense behind him, but. And with his back against the wall, he came through, and I thought he won a hell of a job.
Gibby, do you think Casey had any more life on the ball tonight than he did the other day?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he looked stronger, but you know, he's not hitting his corners is the name of his game, you know. And I mean, he needed to pitch tonight to get some work. You know, he missed. You know, we had the All-Star break, and then he missed a couple games back from that. And then he pitched a game, and he was off. I mean, he did get back into, you know, the groove. He's got to work, you know. But as far as it looked better, but it's just not on the corners, and he's got to live on the corners.
You had Cecil up pretty early, in that ninth inning, and I guess you were right away targeting him for Ortiz. That if Ortiz was getting up, you was getting Cecil no matter what.
Well, what happened earlier in the game, you know, with basically one right-hander, McGowan. You know, we got Sanchez up, but, you know, I wanted to pick the spot to debut him. And, you know, with Redmond down. So we're trying to match. Basically, it was McGowan, Cecil, Loop. We're trying to figure out how we're going to get them through, you know, through the game. You know, we had Cecil up. If, you know, they came back on half there, you know, when he got out of the sixth inning, he was going to go and then run through maybe Ortiz there. Then we got at the inning, McGowan was going to get those two right-handers and run through Pedroia there. And then, and we decided to leave McGowan out there. You know, I mean, he was good. He didn't throw too many pitches. So basically it was, you know, we want to get Sanchez. We'll be in the fire tomorrow, but I wanted to pick the right spot to bring him in. We had a chance. We got Rogers up, possibly if we add on more there, but I didn't want to do that with Sanchez where, you know, get him going and then, you know, dry hump him or whatever you want to call it, you know, for his sake. So that's the terminology. Common terminology in baseball.
Gibby, is Ghost kind of making it difficult for you not to get him into the ball games?
Yeah, Kenny. I mean, he's played good. I mean, even his average is down. But you look over the stretch when he first came up when Colby hurt his hamstring. I mean, the guy just helps us win games. You know, whether it's getting on base at a key time, stealing bases, scoring on balls that a lot of guys can't score on, laying down bunts. And of course, you know, I mean, he's as good as defensively as anybody. I mean, he helps you win ball games, and we think he's just scratching the surface. His swing's starting to come along. You know, that'll take time, and he's got, you know, if he hits someday, I mean, he could be a heck of a player. But you know what? He helps you win baseball games. You know, especially in tight ball games where he can put the pressure on the other side. So yeah, I mean, he's earning a right to play some games. You know.
So there he is, John Gibbons. Good things to say about Jay Happ and explaining why Aaron Sanchez wasn't used in this game. And yeah, made a lot of sense. Blue Jays beat the Boston Red Sox 7-3. I'm Mike Wilner. Blue Jays talk continues to the top of the hour. Let's get back to the phones. Alex is in Hamilton. Welcome to the program. Good evening, Alex.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I just have a comment, and I want to get your thoughts on I think Alex is kind of reaching out there a little bit these days, and in specific in regards to the Brad Mills move. They pick him up, and then they DFA their 2010 first-round draft pick.
No. Oh, Deck McGuire, yeah.
Yes, so they must have thought that Brad Mills was worth more than one look. They throw him out there once, he has one bad outing, and he's gone the next day. Is that really worth giving up your 2010 first-round pick for?
Well, I don't think they've given up Deck McGuire. I don't see that anyone's claimed him. He's just off the 40-man roster and still in the system, and I'm sure that was part of the decision-making process, that they pretty much knew they'd be able to get him through waivers. And again, you can call him the 2010 first-round pick as many times as you want, but he certainly hasn't established himself as someone who is on any kind of track to be able to be a successful pitcher in the major leagues yet. As far as Brad Mills goes, it was, for me, definitely a confusing move. I don't think he's better than Chad Jenkins, and I don't. The only thing I can think of is that they wanted him for the body to pitch in Buffalo, and they were willing to move the bottom guy of their bullpen off the team for a couple of weeks in order to make that happen. He gets lit up, and I think most of us expected that was going to happen if you pitch him against a good team. And he gets designated for assignment, so now you get him through waivers, and he'll go and he'll start in Buffalo. And you can bring Chad Jenkins back in a few days and let Esmil Rogers go. To me, it seemed to be more of a procedural move than anything else. But again, I don't know that it was a move that needed to be made.
Oh, I don't think so. I agree with you on that. And what do you think the logic is in having Sanchez pitch out of the bullpen? You don't think he'd be better off finishing out the year as a starter in Buffalo?
I think they want to cap his innings. In fact, I know they do. And they said today that they'd love to have him finish up at about 130 innings this year. And he's already at 100. So that would be six more starts, and you know, maybe that gets you close to the end of the season in AAA, but it could also be 30 relief innings in the major leagues, and if he's capable of doing that, I think that that's a fantastic add, especially given the fact that Sergio Santos and Steve Delabar haven't been able to get the job done this year.
No, they haven't. And what do you think of Liam Hendricks? Any chance that he's going to play a role down the line?
I doubt it very much.
Okay. Thanks for your thoughts, Mike.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thank you. 416-870-05. You know the phone numbers. Daryl's in Toronto. You're next on Blue Jays Talk. Go right ahead.
Good evening, Michael.
Good evening.
This producer of yours that sets up the calls and gets some screen for your show here, he's got to be the best in the business. Am I wrong?
It's a lovely young man, the Igor Enriquez, no question.
My God.
We also have J.D. Bunkus and Joe Sicilia doing our producing on occasion. Eric Prime's done a couple of games, so don't give those guys short shrift.
No, they
have
I won't.
To, you know, you think I have to deal with some tough stuff. The guys who don't make it on the air, my producers should be getting medals.
Okay. Another question for you. J.A. Happ.
J.Happ.
Isn't it J.A. Happ?
No. No one knows why. He goes by his initials, but he wants it pronounced J.
Okay. Thanks for the correction.
Sure.
And is he not the best and most effective fifth starter in Major League Baseball today?
No.
No? Who is?
I don't know who is, but
you know
what?
I looked it up. He is.
So he's not, and I'll tell you why he's not. I just wrote a column about it that's going to go up on sportsnet.ca shortly. J-Hap's made 14 starts this year.
Yeah.
And he's almost been unbelievably consistent in his inconsistency. In six of those 14 starts, he has an ERA of 0.48. In the other eight starts, he has an ERA of 7.84. He has either been phenomenal or horrible this year, and that certainly doesn't make him the best fifth starter in baseball.
I recall more good than horrible. But
well, there's been six awesome and eight awful.
But I'll tell you, when he is on,
yep,
tall, lanky, lefty, throws at 95 miles an hour. I love it.
I know, and that's what's partly so frustrating about him.
Yeah, no, that's okay. He's doing okay.
No, he's doing okay every other start, basically. He's doing great every other start.
Yeah, and I guess the win-loss record can be deceiving, as we know. We know how those
completely
analytics work, yeah.
Win-loss record doesn't mean a thing.
But they needed him tonight, and he looked good, you know.
Yep.
But anyway, just I wanted your opinion on that. I think he's doing a heck of a job. And as for this ball team, I just want to see them get healthy again. And as for all the talk of trade, no trades by this general manager, he's making moves. He's just waiting for his time. They're coming. It's just a matter of when. That's the way I see it anyway.
Well, and what's coming is Adam Lind and Edwin Encarnacion and Brett Laurie, and that's going to be extremely helpful for this team. And
oh, my goodness.
You know what? Unless it's a David Price, whoever you pick up in trade, or Ben Zobrist or Chase Utley, isn't going to be a massive difference maker. It's going to be a nice, hopefully, additional piece to the puzzle. But, you know, David Cone, I don't think, is walking through that door.
Well, I'll tell you what, just my two cents. They don't need David Price to win this division, but they may need, you know, they may need a David Price to make some hay in the playoffs when it's all said and done. But to win this division, he's going to make a move or two that's necessary. I'm sure of it. But, yeah, and it's funny with the injuries, Michael. I don't know if you know, God love Brett Laurie. I love the kid, too, but I can't believe how much talk he's getting in the last week or two of not being out of the, not in the lineup, and how much Encarnacion isn't getting talk. Like, he's the best hitter in baseball. It's like everyone's talking about Laurie not being there and Lind, and I just find it amazing. This is a huge hole in our lineup right now without EE in there.
Yeah, I don't quite know whose talk you're listening to.
Well, but I'm telling you, I listen to everything, and I hear Brett Laurie's name more than I hear EE's name these days. But it's just an observation of mine.
Okay, not from me.
No, I know not from you.
Okay. Thanks, Daryl. Appreciate it. Want to get some more people. Let's go up to Cottage Country. Kelly is in Collingwood on Blue Jays Talk. Hello, Kelly.
Hi, Mike. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Listen to the show all the time, buddy. Love the colors and, you know, everything going on. My point is, you guys kind of took the wind out of my sails, but I wanted to talk about Strowman and trading him and, you know, the possible Sanchez for a 1 year for, you know, these guys are studs. The, at least Stroman to me looks awesome. And, we've got three good guys coming back. Like, I mean, you couldn't trade for the guys that are coming back. Laurie, you know, Encarnacion. Like, when we get those guys back, we're not out of the hunt yet. And I know you keep telling everybody that. And I agree. Like, we're not out of this thing by far. We get those three players back, we are going to be in good shape. And I don't want to trade an asset like Stroman for a 1 year of price or anything like that. He looks like a gem.
Well, you got to remember that he's 9 starts into his major league career, so you have to kind of.
Isn't he 5-2?
Yes, but he's still 9 starts into his major league career, so you have to pull yourself back from falling too far in love. I think he's terrific, and I don't think the Blue Jays are looking to trade Marcus Stroman at all because of the job he's done in the rotation so far. But David Price is David Price.
The other thing I wanted to say now that we're on this is, Antropoulos has taken all kinds of heat for not making a move, but yet he knows he has three good guys coming back. And this is a baseball guy, you know?
Yeah, you know what? Fans want what fans want, Kelly, and they want trades made, and they want them to happen all the time, and they want managers fired every other day, and you know, that's why the executives are the executives. They
exactly.
The good ones separate emotion and understand and play the long game, and
yes.
That's, you know, Alex Anthopoulos understands completely that there are 61 games left in this season, and that last 2 months of the season the Blue Jays hopefully will be at full strength health wise and that they're still right in the thick of all the races, and that there's no need to make a panicky job saving type move.
If they got healthy on the field, they are a dangerous team and scary team.
Yeah, we've seen it before.
That's right.
And there are no good teams in the American League East.
Exactly. A good year to, you know,
yep,
for all this to happen, really. You need to weather the storm. Mike, thanks for having me on, buddy.
All right. Thank you for the call. And Kelly's absolutely right. You need to weather the storm. And the storm is still a brewing. And the Blue Jays are keeping their heads above water. Not by much. But they certainly haven't. Not only have they not fallen out of the race, they haven't even fallen to the fringes of the race. Right now, they're 3.5 games out of first place in the American League East. The Orioles are in Anaheim. It's 0-0 in the third. The Seattle Mariners hold the wild card spot. They're trailing the Mets 2-0, also in the third. And the Blue Jays are 2 games behind the Mariners for the second wild card. So, I mean, not even remotely close to falling out of the race, with not even remotely close to all hands on deck. Luca is in Mississauga. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk. Go right ahead.
All right. Thanks, Mike. About all the trade talk we've been having, I just don't understand all these people saying, you know, we got to make trades and stuff. Well, you don't have anybody to trade. The prospect pool has been depleted from all the trades.
They've got more than enough people to trade for anybody they want.
Look at the trade like today with Solarte.
Yeah, Solarte is what's Solarte? He's Juan Francisco on June 15th.
Exactly, and we didn't pull the trigger. Now that's
because they didn't want Chase Headley, not because they couldn't afford him.
They can't
because they didn't want him.
The prospects to give up to get Chase Headley.
But Chase Headley does not fit with this team, Luca.
I know he doesn't fit with this team, but I'm just saying that I like that. A middling player to fill the hole here and there. We don't have the prospects to pay.
Of course they do.
You'd be either overpaying or you'd have to give up a ton of lower prospects.
It's not true. It's just not true.
It is true. And even the money,
I mean, you could tell. It's not a debate of contradiction. It's not true. The Blue Jays have more than enough prospects to get anybody they want.
They don't have enough prospects.
You're incorrect, Luca, and I'm not going back and forth. Thank you for the call. This is ridiculous. You can't just contradict me and not make a point. They've got tons of guys. Not as many as they had before they made all the deals, but there seems to be this sort of, I don't know, feeling about baseball that you only have 2 or 3 prospects to trade. Everybody wants Aaron Sanchez. Daniel Norris is a highly sought after guy. So's Antonio Osuna. So's Alberto Tirado. So's Dawel Lugo. So is Mitch Ney. There are a lot of good, and there are a bunch of guys that I didn't even mention. A lot of good young players in this system. And the two guys, Sean Nolan's another one. The two guys that the Padres got for Chase Headley are not world beaters. But the Blue Jays didn't want Chase Headley. And that's another thing that people seem to have a hard time understanding. Chase Headley is a guy who 2 years ago was a phenomenal offensive player, great defensive third baseman. Since then, he's had two crappy years in a row. He was terrible this year, though he started to turn around a bit in July. And most importantly, he's got a bad back, a herniated disc that might require surgery, and you're going to want him to play third base on the turf here? Not a fit. So the Blue Jays say thanks, but no thanks. I just say thanks to all the callers. I appreciate it a lot. And we will do this again tomorrow night. Blue Jays and the Red Sox continue the series. R.A. Dickey and Clay Buchholz. We'll see you at 7 o'clock.